In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the second Gospel reading. What relation is there between the sending out of these 72 and the ministry from which we are sent out, for which we are sent out from this place? It's a complex thing, but let's reduce it to two things. First, how is this sending of the 72 different from the apostolic ministry of word and sacrament? It's very important to note that difference. And I suppose the most dramatic point in the difference in the commission is in the command given to these people that heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. That is quite absent from our commission. Contrary to the mistaken thinking of some, for example, Larry Christensen, who in his book, Charismatic Renewal Among Lutherans, very, very misleading book, says that healing is not something optional. Healing, he says, is as much as part of the Great Commission as anything else. That, dear friends, is a deep confusion. These 72 are indeed sent to heal with the message, the kingdom of God is near. And the expulsion of physical illness, and also the expulsion of demons, demonic power, is to be a sign of something deeper. The kingdom of God is at hand. But that is not our commission. Just as it would be disastrous for us to go and to tell people what has not been given us to tell or for them to do, so it would be disastrous for us to imagine that we have somehow a command or responsibility for healing which we haven't got, or as though it weren't the full gospel if the physical effects didn't follow. It's very important, Luther always reminds us, to note to whom something is addressed. Abraham is told to sacrifice his son. We are not told to do that. The disciples are told to divide bread and fish among the people. We are not told to do that. One of the most important things is that just as these 72 and the 12, and so we who are descended from the 12, not from the 72, keep to our divine commission, keep strictly to what we've been given and told to do and say. Otherwise, when we step outside that, we are not acting in the name of the Lord, and the blessing of the Lord is not upon what we do and say. So yes, they were told to do that, but not we. That indicates that theirs was a mission which was preliminary, preparatory, and provisional. It was temporary. And because it was temporary, it didn't require a permanent ministry such as what we have. We do not know how many of these 72 eventually were re-enlisted in the permanent apostolic service of the Church. But we know that their mission was temporary. They soon came back, and they reported the end of their mission, and that was the end of them. Unlike the 12, their mission goes on. The mission of the 12 is not to go and prepare in the Judean villages for the personal arrival of the Savior still to come. But the mission to the apostles is, first of all, worldwide, not just there, in the immediate Palestinian area. Global, and it is to baptize, to make disciples, and to teach and to observe all these things which I've commanded you. What are these? Above all, the evangelical mandate. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And the central ecclesial mandate, this do in remembrance of me. Completely different messages, completely different missions. But one was preparatory for and in the service of the other. One temporary, the other permanent. But secondly, what do the two have in common? In common, they surely have this, that both depend and are to depend absolutely on the provision given by him who gives the commission. Later on, at Gethsemane, the Lord refers back to this incident and said, when I sent you without purse or provisions or anything, did you lack anything? No, they didn't. The Lord provided for them. He who sent them out was able to see them through. That is the element which their preliminary work has in common with our permanent commission. That commission is to go forward only by those supplies and that equipment which the Lord himself gives. And in the divine revelation, documented for us in his holy word and in the holy sacrament, we are complete. That is the full gospel. There is nothing more. Anything more would be a dreadful anticlimax. Here, in these scriptures, according to 2 Timothy 3, 15 and the following, these are given so that the man of God, the minister of the word, may be perfect, that is, completely furnished, equipped for all the good works of his office. Nothing more needs to be added. So the Lord, who sent them, the 72, also sends us the multitude of ministers who have gone forth, which is derived from the apostleship of the 12, this apostolic, urgent mission ministry to the entire world, to proclaim not a coming Savior, but the one who has come and who has completed the work of redemption. Even the apostles didn't know at that time exactly what would happen, crucifixion, resurrection, all these were impenetrable mysteries to them. These mysteries today are revealed publicly on every street corner, in every marketplace. That is our apostolic mission to the entire world. That these things no longer be kept secret, but be revealed, be proclaimed, be given out, and pressed into people's arms so they have these treasures. There comes from this a saying which also applies to our ministry, namely, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Interesting that 1 Timothy 5 already quotes that as scripture. So St. Luke already functioned as scripture by the time the pastoral letters are being written. But there is a deeper sense in which we are to live from the gospel, not only get our physical sustenance from it, a sense which did not apply to that earlier mission. Our Lord was taunted, physician, heal thyself. And of course, he was the great physician who didn't need any healing. We who are vicar physicians, sub-physicians, need also healing for ourselves. Unlike these 72 who had no mission to themselves, they simply prepared for other people. We today also have to eat that same bread of life and drink that same water of life. That same nourishment that we minister to other people, that has to be given also to our parched souls before we perish. And just as in their ministry, so now everything depends on living from the sustenance that he gives and looking neither to the left nor to the right, forward nor backward, but pursuing what he has given us and there to receive his blessings. And so the Lord, for his permanent ministry, has established this office. It takes preparation. These 72 were sent on sort of a field work expedition, we might say. It wasn't even quite a vicarage, was it? But it was sort of a field work preparation. And it had lots of training beforehand. So also, even more so, the permanent ministry of the gospel and sacrament is not something that is committed to the hands of ill-prepared people or casually chucked about to just anybody who'd like to, who has an interest in a bit of adventure. But this is given to those who are called by God through his church in an orderly way. And that ministry must be seen as part of the institution here, of this new and better way, this permanent way. And men do wrong when they interfere with that. But when we rely entirely upon the treasure and the supply and the rich provision and the bread of life that he gives, that he lavishes upon the church and upon his ministry, also those in the service themselves, then we need fear neither hell, the gates of which shall not prevail, nor the machinations of men, nor the world, nor our own sinful flesh. Nothing can pluck us out of his hand. The most difficult, perhaps, in the church is when there is disunity even within our own ranks. Yet even against these demoralizing situations, the Lord guarantees in this greater final apostolic mission that he shall win the victory, though in the words of the hymn, hymn about the church, which talks about traitors and enemies within, yet the church shall prevail. That is because the Lord says, "And I, behold, I am with you even to the end of the world." When he is with us, nothing can be against us. And he gives everything. Therefore, by clinging to this divine gift, we shall come back just as they did, rejoicing, but rejoicing not in this, that the spirits are subject to us, or we can do impressive things, but rejoicing rather in this, which is the burden of our ministry, that our names are written in heaven. And that joy no one takes from us. Amen.